Hi, this is Rick Warren, and you're listening to Daily Hope. You may have heard somebody say, you know, I trust Jesus, but not the other guys who wrote the Bible. Well, there's a problem with that logic. You see, Jesus trusted the Bible, every word of it. In fact, he taught that the Bible was a unique book, the inspired, inerrant word of God above every other book. In fact, Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 5, verse 18. I tell you truly, until heaven and earth disappears, not even the smallest letter, not even the least stroke of a pen will by any means disappear from the law, God's law, until everything is accomplished. That's a pretty firm affirmation of the Word of God. Jesus says the Bible is going to last until the end of time. It will accomplish what God wants to accomplish in this world. Later, he says in John chapter 10, we know that the scripture is always true. So Jesus taught the truth about the Bible, and he believed the truth of the Bible. If you're going to believe Jesus, you've got to believe his word on the word. When Jesus talks about the truthfulness of the Bible, we need to listen. The Bible tells us that Jesus believed every single sentence and every single word of scripture. If you don't, you're saying you're smarter than Jesus. I figure he knows more about it than you or I do. So if you trust Jesus, why wouldn't you trust the Bible? Now let's get started and look into God's Word for our daily hope.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Today, we continue in our series called 40 Days of Love. This is part 3 of a message called Love is Not Easily Angered. It's based on 1 Corinthians chapter 13. In just a few moments, we're going to tell you how you can get the Life-Giving Study DVD and study kit for this series. You can take a sneak peek at it while you listen today just by going to PastorRick.com or by texting the word DAILY to 99000. And now here's Rick with today's message.
Every time you get angry, it's hurt, frustration, or insecurity. Now, this is so important because when somebody gets angry at you, try to look beyond the anger and see which of these things are they feeling. Because if somebody gets angry at you, your response is to get angry back. We're not very sympathetic with anger. Somebody gets angry at me, my natural reaction is to get defensive. But if somebody comes and says, what you said hurt me, hurt is a whole lot easier to deal with than anger. We're much more sympathetic to hurt. And if my wife comes to me and says, I'm angry at you, I want to get angry back. If she comes to me and says, I was hurt by you, I want to go, oh, well, let me think about that. I'm sorry. Or if somebody says, I was frustrated by this, or this made me feel insecure. Okay? Guys, if your wife comes to you and says, you know what? The way you look at other women, it hurts me, it frustrates me, and it makes me feel insecure. That's a whole lot better than just having to be angry and you can't figure out why they're angry. You need to listen to what's behind the anger. Does that make sense? And that only happens if you reflect before reacting. So you stop and go, okay, I don't want to blow it. I know I can manage my anger. I resolve to manage it. I'm going to remember the cost. I always lose when I lose my temper. So let me reflect before reacting. Why am I angry? What do I really want? How can I get it? And is it frustration? Is it hurt? Is it fear? And then here's what you pray. Look at this next verse. Psalm 141:3. Lord, help me control my tongue. Help me to be careful about what I say. You know, some of these verses are so good, you need to write them on little cards and memorize them this week. This is a week for multiple memory verses. Because when you're angry, if you don't know the verse, it's not helpful. Well, I know Rick talked about anger sometime a long time ago. But if you write them on a little card, you keep them in your wallet, your purse, or in your car, then you can learn them. And then when it comes, you start to get angry, God can bring those verses to mind and help you. By the way, do you know what is the number one cause of reacting before reflecting? Of not thinking through what you're going to say before you say it? You know what's the number one cause? Alcohol. Alcohol, it removes all your inhibitions, and you don't think, and you do stuff you'd never do if you weren't drunk. Look at this next verse. The Bible says, drinking too much makes you loud and foolish. It's stupid to get drunk. Unless you're a country western guy, I'm going to write songs about it. Okay? But, you know, it's all my rowdy friends, you know? But, you know, how many of those drinking songs talk about the stupidity of getting drunk? Because people do things they would never do when they don't reflect before reacting. And here's the fourth step. Fourth step in learning to tame your temper. Release my anger appropriately. Release my anger appropriately. As I said, there is a right way and there is a wrong way to express anger. There is appropriate and there is an inappropriate way to do it. There's a helpful and there's a harmful way. There's a sinful way and a non-sinful way. If anger was a sin, then God's a sinner because God gets angry. God gets angry when he sees a rape. God gets angry when he sees child abuse. God gets angry when he sees poor people ignored by rich people. God gets angry when he sees racial prejudice. God gets angry when he sees people ripping off each other and people being unfaithful to their husband or their wife. There are a lot of things in the world that are flat out evil, and you ought to get angry about those things. So anger is not a sin, but I must release my anger appropriately. Now, the Bible says this in Ephesians 4:26. If you become angry, don't let your anger lead you into sin. In other words, there's one way to do it. That's not, so you can get angry and still not sin. And there's another way that if you do it, it's definitely wrong. It's all in how you release it. And most people express their anger in ways that actually leads them further away from their goal rather than closer to it. Now, here's a myth that you need to understand. A lot of pop psychology teaches us it's just wrong. It's just not true. And the idea is this, that everybody has this bucket of anger. And what you need to do is periodically, you just need to get it off your chest, and you just need to pour out all your anger, and you just need to explode, express, decompress, blah, you know, emotionally vomit on somebody, and get it all out, then your bucket's empty, and you'll be good. So they'll say, it's good for you to express your anger, because otherwise you're just stuffing it down, because you got to empty that bucket. And there are entire systems of psychology, like primal scream, that says, you know, if you just scream enough, well, then it'll all that rage that you had from a kid will all be gone. There's only one problem. It doesn't work. I hate to tell you this, but you don't have a bucket in your heart of anger. You got a factory. You got a factory.
In just a few moments, we're going to tell you how you can get the Life-Giving Study DVD and study kit for this series. You can take a sneak peek at it while you listen today just by going to PastorRick.com or by texting the word DAILY to 99000.
Jesus said that of all the commandments in the Bible, two are most important. Love God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. When you do this, you end up obeying the rest of God's commandments, and all the relationships in your life, even the difficult ones, get so much better. To help you do this, Pastor Rick wants to send you the 40 Days of Love Study Kit, which includes a 6-session DVD and a study guide. In this video series, Rick teaches you how to make loving God and loving others the central focus in your life. He shares practical, Christ-centered advice on how to authentically love God and love your neighbor as a normal way of life. When you learn to focus on the spiritual principles of patience, kindness, truth, and forgiveness, love will become your dominant life value. Please let us send you the 40 Days of Love Study Kit as our way of saying thanks for your financial support of this ministry. Get yours right now by calling 800-600-5004. That's 800-600-5004. Or go to PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick with two R's in the middle, .com. Today is the last day to get this great resource, so don't wait.
Once again, here's Rick.
I hate to tell you this, but you don't have a bucket in your heart of anger. You got a factory. You got a factory. And it can produce, and there's plenty more of where that came from.
And study after study and research after research has shown that aggression only produces more aggression. And anger only produces more anger. And flying off the handle makes you more likely to do it the next time. That it becomes a habit, a perpetual pattern. And that it produces more. That anger, getting anger off your chest, doesn't reduce it. It actually sets you up to create more. So that one doesn't work. Notice what the Bible says. Psalm 15, verse 1. A gentle answer quiets anger, but a harsh one stirs it up. Now, we all know this. You know, have you ever noticed that if you talk loud, the person next to you talks loud back? And the louder you get, the louder they get. And it just gets, and it escalates. And so if you want to de-escalate anger in your relationship, in your marriage or friendship or whatever, you talk low and slow. Not loud and fast, low and slow. Low and slow. And when you, a gentle answer turns away wrath. It quiets anger. Whose anger does it quiet? Well, first it quiets your own. When you talk loud, it makes you angrier. When you talk low and slow, it makes you calmer before it even starts working on them. Now, what is the best way to deal with anger? Well, I need to tell you three ways that don't work that the world teaches, and then God's way. You don't suppress it, you don't repress it, you don't express it, you confess it. Got that? Let's try it again. I'll take them one at a time. You don't suppress it. So write that down. Don't suppress it. Now, what does suppression mean? It means when you stuff it, when you store it up inside. Now, when you store up anger inside, that's like taking a Coke bottle and shaking it up. It's eventually going to explode, and it's going to come out sideways, sometimes in a relationship that's not even related to the person you're angry at. Suppressing it, pushing it down doesn't work. As I said earlier, if you don't talk it out, you take it out on your body. If you swallow your anger, your back, your stomach, your neck, whatever, keep score, and it's going to come out in your body. So you don't suppress it. That's storing it up inside. The second thing you don't do is you don't repress it. Don't repress your anger. Now, what does repression mean? Repression means denying. It means saying, I'm not angry. Repression means pretending like you're not ticked off, that you're not irritated, that you're not mad at your husband or your wife or your mom or your dad or your brother or your sister or the boyfriend who took advantage of you. Don't repress it. That means pretending that it didn't happen. Denial. And that doesn't work either. Now, there is a word for repressed anger. Do you know what repressed anger is? It's depression. Depression, the number one cause of depression, is repressed anger. When you push anger down in you, it causes you to get depressed. Now, that's not the only cause of depression, but it's the number one cause of depression. Depression is often frozen rage. It's swallowing your anger. Most of you know, if you've been around Saddleback for any length of time, the stories, crazy stories about Kay and I in our early years in marriage. When we got married, we really didn't know each other. We got engaged. I moved to Japan and she moved to Birmingham, Alabama. We were apart our entire engagement time. And when we got married, it's like, we love each other, but who are you? And we discovered after we got married that we were polar opposites. I mean, opposite in every single DNA cell of our body. I see it this way, you see it that way, oh-blah-dee, oh-blah-da. I say hi, you say low. I say why, you say I don't know. And it was Tweedledee, Tweedledum, yin and yang. I mean, we're literally opposite. And we started fighting on the honeymoon. I'm not making this up. And within 6 months, our marriage had gone from bad to worse to hell on earth. And we both felt deeply disappointed. This is 33 years ago. And we just thought, what happened? We were in love with each other. We felt God brought us together, but we were so different. And the problem was, we were just immature. Let me give you a whole lot of counseling, marriage counseling, in two words. Ready? Grow up. The number one cause for marriage incompatibility is not incompatibility. I don't even believe in incompatibility. It is a myth made up by divorce lawyers. Any two people can become compatible if they're willing to grow up, if they're willing to be unselfish. The root cause of every single marriage problem is selfishness. I want what I want when I want it, and you want what you want when you want it, and my will and ego faces your ego, and we're gonna fight. And it's all about I, it's all about me. It's not about we, it's about me. And even when one person wants to do the we, if the other one wants to be an I, you're gonna have problems. And it really comes down to just grow up. What is incompatibility? It's immaturity. Any two people can learn to get along with each other if they're willing to grow, if they're willing to be loving, if they're willing to think of more than themselves, if they're willing to compromise and be willing to think of the other person. But Kay and I got married and we were just miserable. And we were too proud to go get counseling. We eventually did and it saved our marriage. But I remember about 6 months into the marriage, Kay thought she was going insane from the pressure. She thought she was losing her mind. And I got so sick from swallowing my anger because I didn't know how to get it out, I ended up in the hospital. Clinically depressed. Yeah, me, Rick Warren. This is 33 years ago. Clinically depressed. And I remember the psychiatrist came in to see me in the hospital, and the guy looked like Freud, and I thought, man, I really am bad trouble. You know, the beard and the whole bit, and he was German, and all he needed was the pipe, you know? And he looks at me, and I'm laying there in this hospital in bed, and he says, what are you angry about? I said, I'm not angry, I'm depressed. He said, no, you're angry. I said, I am not angry, I'm depressed. He said, you're angry. What are you angry about? You won't admit it, that's why you're depressed. I said, I'm not angry. He said, depression is frozen rage. And the truth was, I was angry at Kay. I felt cheated, I felt disappointed, I felt like, hey, this is not supposed to be this way. No, I'm glad we hung on, and I'm glad we went and got counseling. And, you know, it was costing $100 a week to go to counseling at the time, and I was making $800 a month teaching at a college. And I racked up a $1,500 bill on my MasterCard. I should do a commercial. A saved marriage, priceless. And people say, I can't afford counseling. I say, how much is your marriage worth? I'd pay $1 million. I'd pay $10 million for what I've got today. I got a great marriage today. My wife's my best friend. She's my lover, my closest friend. There'd be no Saddleback Church without it. But that was the wimpiest applause I've ever had. I want to tell you that. So when somebody says, well, we can't afford counseling, you can't afford not to get it. How much is your happiness worth? How much is saving your marriage worth? I mean, I would have been a divorce 33 years ago. I wouldn't be standing here talking, helping you if I had just given up on it and said, well, we're incompatible. Anyway, the truth is I repressed it, and that was causing my depression. You don't repress it. You don't suppress it. The third thing you don't do is you don't express it. You don't express it, because when you express your anger, you're going to tend to just create more. And when you express your anger in inappropriate ways, it damages the relationship. Now, we all have our favorite ways of expressing, and they're all inappropriate. No one's more holier than anybody else. Some of you you got a black belt in sarcasm. I mean, when somebody gets you angry, you pull out that and your tongue is like, whoosh, 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 you know, slice, slice, slice. I mean, you got a kung fu tongue, man. And you're good at cold cuts. You got a deli mouth, okay? And you're actually proud of it. I'm so witty. Look at that one I just did. And you're destroying the relationship with your sarcasm. And you cut and cut and cut. That's not the way to express anger. Now, others of you, you're not sarcastic. You're not that sharp with the words, but you are great at manipulation. And your motto is, don't get mad, get even. And that woman who said that thing about, oh, she will rue the day she ever said that about me. And you figure out a way to manipulate and hurt and destroy that person who hurt you behind the scenes. And you got a war plan that would make General Patton proud. And a lot of TV movies are built on that one. Figuring out a way to get even, manipulate. And that's no better than the sarcasm. Others of you, man, you're Mount Vesuvius. You just blow up. And the hot lava comes out, and she's a maniac, you know, and, you know, it just comes out all over. And others of you, you think you're so self-righteous because you're the powder. Poor me. Mary Martyr. Nobody likes me. Everybody hates me. I'm going to go eat worms. And you have your way of manipulating, and everybody knows in the family, mom's pouting again. And so everybody has to walk on eggshells, because if she just doesn't get her way, it's gonna be bad time in Dodge City. None of those ways are appropriate. Whether you do the silent manipulation or the overt stinking up the place, they're all wrong.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Now, if you've missed any part of this broadcast, including portions we didn't have time for today, just visit PastorRick.com, where you can listen online anytime. Be sure to sign up for Rick's free daily email devotional while you're there. That's PastorRick.com. Rick will be back in just a moment with a closing thought. But just before that, let me ask you, is it possible to love the people in your life any more than you already do? Pastor Rick says it is. But it's not about trying harder or willing yourself to love more. It's about discovering what God says about love in His Word. Right now, here's Pastor Rick to tell you more.
Jesus says that the two most important things you can do while you're here on earth are to love God with all your heart and to love your neighbor as yourself. In other words, life is all about love. Now, as believers, it's not just enough to talk about love or to read about love or to discuss love. We must show it. We must exhibit it by the way we treat other people. Now, the Bible says that we do this. We learn to be genuinely loving people by relying on the love that God has for us. That's why I've put together a 6-session study kit called 40 Days of Love. It includes a study guide and a 6-session DVD that will teach you the habits of a loving heart. Now, you can go through it by yourself, but really, how are you going to learn to love by yourself? You need to do it in a small group with 2 or 3 friends or even more. Just get some friends and some neighbors and say, let's learn how to really love. And let's study this together for 40 days. Now, 40 Days of Love is going to teach you why love matters most, more than anything else. And it's going to teach you what the Bible means when it says that love is patient and love is kind and love speaks the truth. Love keeps no record of wrongs. That love is forgiving. Now, I want to tell you something. This is a life-changing study. It changed my life when I did it. And it's going to change your life and those that you share it with. And if you really want to grow spiritually, you've got to learn how to love. Now, this month, we're offering the 40 Days of Love Study Kit for a financial gift to Daily Hope Ministries. I want everybody to be able to enjoy this study, so all I ask is that you help support Daily Hope Ministries. Now, I know some of you can afford a little bit more than others, and I appreciate that. It helps us keep on the air and helps us spread the message to other stations. But some of you, you're going through tough times and you don't have a whole lot. That's okay. I know you work hard for what you earn. I promise that whatever you give, no matter how large or small, that every cent that you send in to support Daily Hope goes right back into the ministry. I do this ministry for free. I take no money from it. And so you can be certain that any gift you give is helping spread the hope we have in Christ here at home and even all around the world. Now, thanks for listening today, and join me next time as we continue to look into God's Word for our daily hope.
Get yours right now by calling 800-600-5004. That's 800-600-5004, or go to PastorRick.com. That's Pastor Rick with two R's in the middle, .com. Today is the last day to get this awesome Bible study tool, so don't wait. This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and your generous financial support.